Tell the good news of how God loves people of all skin colors and ethnicities and wishes to bring them together into one family. Tell the good news of how God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood covers all sins and leads people back into a right relationship with God. Tell the good news of the Holy Spirit who will move into your heart and begin to transform you into someone that you were not. Tell the good news now while the opportunity exists.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. I read a story many years ago about a young man who went off to college, and on the first week of his college experience, he wrote home to his father and said, "I was entered into my first choice fraternity, a feather in my cap." And on his second week of college, he wrote home to his father and said, "Landed the lead in the semester play, another feather in my cap." And on his third week, he said, "Got a date with the head of the cheerleading squad, another feather in my cap." And so it went on, week after week, feather after feather, until somewhere about three quarters of the way through the semester, the letter read, "Flunked out. Need money to get home." And the father fired off a response really quick. He said, "Sew all those feathers to the sleeves of your shirt and fly home. You can honk if you're laughing. Then I would know." Okay. Okay. There. Good. Good. It's really hard to tell sometimes. I have known people who had experiences similar to that. People who came to college and got involved in everything except the education which their dollars were supposed to net them. I had a cousin, and the way that his mother summed it up was that he attended college with great enjoyment for one semester, unencumbered by class attendance. Yeah, I have known others. And sometimes part of the problem is that people are set in such a deep tide of blessings to which they contributed nothing. Everything done for them, paid for them, arranged for them. Sometimes I have noticed that people who have to pay something for their college experience are much more determined to get something worthwhile out of it for their investment. But be that as it may, I think that dynamic is at least a little part of what is going on with the children of Israel in the passage that Gary read to us today, the parable of the vineyard from the early portion of the prophecy of Isaiah. And the parable describes the relationship between God and His people, which has been described several ways: shepherd and flock, husband and bride, and in this case, vine dresser and vineyard. And what did God do for His vineyard? That is the operative question. Well, as it turns out, He did several things. First, there was the location, a well-drained but fertile hillside that provided lots of sunlight, everything that grapevines would need to grow luxuriant and strong. And He says He dug the rocks from the soil and remove them so that there would be nothing but loose, clean dirt for them to sink their roots into. I don't think we always understand that one very well. Most of the fields that I've seen in Indiana and Ohio, you can't find enough rocks in them to matter. We spent some years, Michael and I, in Tennessee, and I can tell you, since I rented myself out to lots of farmers for different enterprises, the first agricultural task of the spring is picking up rocks. You take a tractor and a wagon. You park the wagon in one section of the field, and everyone walks around and picks up rocks the size of your head or bigger, some that you need someone to help you lift up onto the wagon. They have come up through the soil since last season, and next season there will be more that have come up to the top, and they need to be removed or they will hurt the implements and hinder the crop. Every farm in Shady Valley, Tennessee, had a big pile of rocks built over generations of family farming. The local elementary school, the exterior of it was constructed completely of stone taken from the rock piles of the various farmers. There were several homes in the valley built of the same stone. They would have laughed at our practice of paying for rocks when they were all there just to be taken, needing to be taken. Somebody would pay you to take them to get them out of their fields. God removed all the rocks. And he put a hedge and a wall around his vineyard to keep out those forces, individuals, and influences that would destroy it. And he used select vines, not just run. How many of you poured over? I can't see your hands. Honk if you have looked over seed catalogs in the course of the recent winter. Several of us. Did you ever notice the names that are given to the vegetables they want you to die? Just pick or buy. Pick one. Tomatoes, and it would have had a name like Big Boy or Better Boy or Juicy Red. I have yet to see a tomato advertised as Puny Green or Bitter Baby or any such thing. Select stock God used to plant his vineyard. Men like Abraham and Moses and Joseph. And God built a watchtower in the vineyard itself so that there could be people there full time in season to take care of it. They could live there and tend the needs of the vineyard. And then finally God built a wine press in the vineyard itself, so that when the expected fruit that should come from all this extravagant preparation and care should finally be ripe and ready, the vintage could be squeezed right on the site, ready to go. These things God did for his vineyard, and it produced wild grapes. That is, grapes like which you could pick for walking just a little bit up the hill and looking off into the woods and seeing the wild, running, rampant grapevines there. And there's fruit on them. There's fruit on them sometimes for a little while. It's small fruit and it's scarce fruit. And it's usually 50 foot up in some big tree, and it's surrounded by other vines, most of which are poison ivy and will make you itch, but there is a little bit of fruit there. If you wanted to go to all the trouble to go and get it, but that's not what you expect when you have gone to all the trouble to prepare and protect and nurture the vineyard And yet at the end of the time, the vineyard produced only that which would have been produced in the wild by untended vines. Many of you will have investments of one sort and another. And if you had an investment that paid you exactly the same as if you had put the money in a coffee can and buried it in the backyard, with the exception that the coffee can did not charge you fees and commissions. If you had an investment like that, you gain nothing for all your payments and all your trouble and all your patience and all your waiting. Would you keep such an investment? We all live in homes. If you lived in a home that kept you exactly as warm and dry and comfortable as if you lived outside in the backyard, how would you feel about that home? Wouldn't you want something better for all your efforts than to have the end result be exactly what it would be if you had no home at all? So God says, judge between me and my vineyard. What else could I have done for it? And what can be done about it now that at the end of the day it has produced only wild grapes? It's worth asking, since we're really talking about the nation of Israel, what is this harvest, this fruit that God desires? And it's a simple thing. You can find it in just a couple of verses in the Old Testament. He has shown the old man what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That there should be justice, that there should be mercy, and that people, God's people, should walk humbly in a right relationship with Him. This He sought for all that He had lavished upon His vineyard. And now at the end of the day, it was no longer possible to tell the difference between what he got from his vineyard and what he would get from the wild vines in the woods. The Israelites were to have been different than the pagan nations. It was why God said he drove the pagan nations out so that he could put the Israelites in. And he told them on the first day of their inhabitation of the promised land, here's the deal. Don't become like the pagan nations. You can read it in Deuteronomy 12. They did this. You shouldn't do that. They did those things. You shouldn't do those things. He capped the list off with, they got so bad they even sacrificed their babies to their pagan gods. You should never do that. Justice, mercy, walk humbly with your God. It will fix everything. But at the end of the day, there was no real way to tell the difference. Although God had removed all the rocks, although God had put the wall of protection about them, although God had built the tower in the vineyard, the temple fully staffed by priests who were there in all seasons, he needed one more shift. Priests who were there in all seasons to explain the word of God and lead the people in their ritual practice to build their relationship with him. It became impossible to tell the difference between his vineyard and the wild vines of the forest. Judge between me and my vineyard, God says. What should be done about this? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit maintaining that hedge and the wall that offers such security. I'm going to quit removing rocks, obstacles, impediments, and you're just going to have to get used to them being there. And that temple that I gave you, that tower for the maintenance of the vineyard, it's going to be leveled. And that priesthood that I gave you, that workforce to keep you close, it's going to be disbanded. And since you seem to love the ways of the pagan nations so much, you are going to be carried off to captivity in the pagan lands. This God said he would do. And he did. I'd like to ask all of us, myself included, a few questions this morning. Has God done less to establish America than he did to establish Israel? And I say the answer is no. He has not done less. This prime location he selected for his people, the wall of providence that he built around us, the stones, the obstacles, the impediments that he removed, the choice stock that he planted to get the vineyard started here, the church, the tower that he put in place to do the work of maintaining the vineyard. I say God has done no less for us than he did for Israel. So how are we doing? Live justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with thy God. Now set the church aside for a moment and just ask it about the nation. How are we doing? Justice, mercy, humble walk with God? It seems to me there are a few problems. Is there racism? Well, I know there is. Are there police officers who would kneel for long minutes on the neck of a handcuffed and already subdued individual? Obviously there are. Are there people who would take advantage of a situation like this to riot and loot, burn, steal, destroy, and commit violence? Obviously, there are. Do our leaders have these situations well in hand? Approaching them as godly leaders ought. Are our political divisions filled with hate and purposeful disunity? How are we doing? And I suspect that God must be looking down on us with some disappointment as it becomes increasingly difficult to tell his vineyard here from the wild grapes of nations that have far more excuse than we have for not knowing his desires. What will come on that day when God says, judge between me and my vineyard? What else could I have done? And what needs to be done about it now? Now let's look more inward. What about the church, that tower that is built in the midst of the vineyard, to see to its maintenance, to keep the vines from running wild, to do the work of cultivation? How is the church doing? It seems to me that we also have problems. And I know that you came here this morning for a positive and uplifting message, and that I have not delivered it just yet. So I will get to what I think is the good news. It is not too late. It was not too late in the days when Isaiah originally told the parable of the vineyard. There was yet time for the nation to repent. They did not, but there was time for it. It was another 150 years until they reached the point of no return. Even early in the ministry of Jeremiah, there was just a little time left in which they could have repented and averted disaster and become the vineyard of God again, but they did not, and that time passed, and judgment fell. It is not too late for us, but it will be one day, if we don't change. And the change must begin with those in the tower who have been charged with the maintenance of the vineyard. If the church fails, the nation falls. And there is no other way about it. What can we do? Well, you can ask yourself, have I done my part? And if God convicts you that you haven't, start doing it. Maybe God will call you to some work all your own. I don't know. But I can tell you this, there's a lot that you can do here. If you weren't involved with the barn sale and what happens before and after, you don't know all the blessings that result from that. It's not, I don't even know what I want to say. It is an enterprise that is filled with blessings from those who bring the things in to the whole process of the sale and the opportunity to witness to the people that come and the raising of the money for good projects and the taking of goods down to places like Hope Outreach where they will still bless other people. If you've not been involved, and you could have been, you don't know that blessing. If you've not been involved in the garden, you don't know the blessing that comes and the love of God that is shed abroad with those foods. If you are not involved in the missions ministry of the church, you don't know yet. I'm telling you, there are things you can help do here that will make a difference before it is too late. And there are things you can do elsewhere that will make a difference before it is too late. But the last thing we want is to come to that day when God says, judge between me and my vineyard. What else could have been done? And what should be done about it now? Because in that day, he will knock down the walls of protection and cease to till the soil for us and disband the ministry of the church that has been placed for the maintenance of the vineyard. and the good news will move on. The only way to keep it here is to tell it. Tell it to your neighbors. Tell it to your fellow workers. Tell it to your teachers. Tell the good news of how God loves people of all skin colors and ethnicities and wishes to bring them together into one family. Tell the good news of how God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood covers all sins and leads people back into a right relationship with God. Tell the good news of the Holy Spirit who will move into your heart and begin to transform you into someone that you were not. Tell the good news now while the opportunity exists. And the opportunity exists. I am not glad for any death that has accompanied this pandemic. I am not glad for any violence that has accompanied these racial tensions. I am not glad for any of these things. But I am glad for the increased opportunity for God's people to share His good news. Go and share. If you would pray with me for just one moment. Father, I ask that You will convict us today. That as Your vineyard in this time and place, we will bear the fruit of Your desire and choice. I pray that You reach out to every heart today as we enter into the invitation and lead us as to how we should respond while there is still time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.